Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Rosenberg, Etter Risha Bas Moshe, whose yahrzeit was yesterday. And we're also learning today Le'ili Nishmas Samuel C. Gluck, Shmuel Ben Zev, whose yahrzeit is today. We begin the Gemara at the two dots, which is four lines down at the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara reminds us of a machlokas we had yesterday between Rav and Rav Safra as Amaroyim, and then we had a machlokas Tanoyim between Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonason, and the opinion of Rav Yoshia was that the extra words in the Pasuk, Yimol Bisar Orloso, is how we make the drasha that the bris milah is allowed to be done even if the Orla has a lesion, a baheres, a lesion of tsaras on the Orla. So we repeat that discussion today of the machlokas between Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonason. So Amar Mar, whenever he has a lashon Amar Mar, it means we're going to repeat something that we just said. Besar, we had the drasha of Yimol Besar or so, that comes to teach me, Af Apishiyeshon Baheres, even though there is a lesion of Tsaras, known as a Baheres there, on the foreskin, Yimol. One is permitted to do the Bris Milah, Divri Rav Yoshia. That was the opinion we learned yesterday from Yoshia, and this is what we're partially quoting that discussion from yesterday over here. So the Gemara says, Ha'olamali Kro, why do I need a pasuk to tell me this? After all, when you're doing the bris milah, that's all you're interested in doing. You're not interested in cutting off the baharis. That happens to come, by the way. So it's a davar shenu miskavenu. This is a classical example of something that you didn't intend. You don't care about the lesion. You just want the foreskin to be taken off to do the mitzvah bris milah. The davar shenu miskaven is mutter, and at least according to Rabbi Shimon, a davar shenu miskaven is mutter. So the Gemara gives an obvious teretz, Omer Abayi, this isn't Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Lo nitzucho, we need the pasuk, Yimol Bisar or Laso, to teach us this then. This is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a Dover Shein HaMiskavein is Aser. Lo nitzucho held Rabbi Yehuda, the Dover Shein HaMiskavein is Aser. So that's a very simple teretz that Abayi gives, that this is all going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But Taka, Rabbi Shimon would say that you don't need this pasuk. The moral asks, then later on, in a few moments, what does Rabbi Shimon do with the pasuk of Bisar Olaso? Rava gives a different teretz. Rava Amar, no. Afilu Tam Rabbi Shimon. This could even be in accord. Rabbi Yosha's opinion is not limited to just being within the sheet of Rabbi Huda. It goes even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says the Dover Shein HaMiskavein is mutter. Why is that? Because we have the famous rule, Molder Rabbi Shimon, Bipsik Reishe, Velo Yomus, that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's a Dover Shein HaMiskavein, but it's going to happen 100% of the time, it's a Psik Reishe. If you cut off the chicken's head, won't it die? So therefore, you can't say, I wasn't interested in that. It's something that I wasn't miskavein for. It's absolutely going to happen. It's a psik reisha, and therefore, even Rabbi Shimon says a davar shein miskavein is going to be asur if it's a psik reisha. So Gemara asks a question that maybe many of you were thinking as well. But Abaye less lay high svara. Doesn't Abaye hold the same thing? After what we've learned many times already, for Abaye and Rava, the Amri Tavaya, both Abaye and Rava said this din that Moda Rabbi Shimon psik reisha of lo yomus. So why did Abaye give a different teretz over here? Said it's only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda. He could say Tak, it goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon as well, but it's a psik reisha, and therefore a Dov Shimon miskavein is a psik reisha is also even according to Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says no. Basu de shama mi Rava. Abaye never knew this. He heard it from Rava. He said, Taka, Rava, you're right. Svara. And now he holds it as well. Rashi says this lotion of Svara means Nosan ba daite v'kibu b'menu. He gave it some thought, and he said, you know, Taka, you're right. So this famous statement that we've had multiple times that both Abaye and Rava, Damar Tavayu, so this was only after Abaye heard it from Rava. So meanwhile, Abaye gave another terror to say that this could go according to the opinion of Yehuda, but afterwards he said, Taka could go according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon as well. Alternatively, Iko Damasni Laho da Abaye Rava Ha. Others say that this machlokes over here between Abaye and Rava, one said it goes according to Rabbi Huda, and the other one said no, it goes even according to Rabbi Shimon, and then Abaye realized that Rava's opinion is correct, and it could go even according to Rabbi Shimon. They said Tarvayu, it goes on a different discussion. What does it go on? It goes on the following pasuk. Hishom b'nei gat saras, lishmor m'od v'lasos. The pasuk says you have to be very careful with the negative saras not to cut it off. Now, the word lasos means as follows. Now, some have the girsa iata oset. Others have the girsa that we don't say the words iata oset, but we learn it out the same way. Avo. Osa ato besiv shal gabi ragel. You're not allowed to go cut off the neged saras in a normal way, but if a person wishes to go and put some sort of a sieve is some sort of like the palm tree base. So he takes this sieve and he puts it on his foot, intending to go tighten it around his foot. Now, he has a lesion on his foot. When you tighten it like this, you may cut off the circulation and you may have the lesion come off. But that's not your intention. Your intention is to bind your foot, to have like a sock or a shoe on your foot. Or a remote shall God give it safer. Or if a person is carrying a pole on his shoulder, he happens to have this lesion on his shoulder. And by carrying this pole, it's going to rub against the lesion, and it's going to cause the lesion to come off. You're allowed to do that. It may come off. If it comes off, it comes off. It's not a problem. As Rashi says, if the beharis comes off with this action of either putting the sieve on your foot or this pole over here, this moat on your shoulder, not a problem. That's why it says lasos. When the pasuk says lasos, it means you're not allowed to do cutting it off, but you are allowed lasos to do your malachas. Rashi says mut lasos malachto. You have to put the sieve on your foot in order to be able to walk, or you have to put this pole on your shoulder, you have to go and carry it. So therefore, if these normal actions which you're doing over here cause the lesion to come off, not a problem. Where it says, wait a second, why do I need a pasuk for her? Amar li kra, we have pasuk over here that tells me, lasos, that I'm allowed to do this, it's a dover shenem eskabin, it's mutter anyway, why do I need the pasuk? So here's where we have the machlokes of Abaye, Rabbah. Abaye says, Amar Abaye, you're right. According to Rabbi Shimon, I would need the pasuk. The pasuk is only on my bay, lo nitzchah el Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk is only needed for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Dov Hashem is coming is also. He says that even though the sieve or the moat is not your intention to go knock off the lesion, but since it's going to do so, you're not allowed to do so, even if it's a Dov Hashem is coming. So the pasuk is only needed to tell me that you are, in fact, lasos, allowed to do this, because I wouldn't know it from a Dov Hashem is coming. Rava says, no, for Rava might, no, I feel with him Rabbi Shimon, because the mother Rabbi Shimon, the psychiatrist of the Lord Moses. This is where Rava said his statement that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds with Rabbi Shimon's covenant, his mutter, would say that it's also if it's a psychiatrist. And the Gemara asked the same question they asked before of Abaye, Leslie, Haisvara. Abaye doesn't hold from this. After all, we had many times for Abaye, for Rava, the Armin Tavayu. Mother Rabbi Shimon, the psychiatrist of the Lord Moses. Even Abaye holds from this then. So the Gemara gives the Teretz again before. And Abaye didn't know this originally. The Lubasa, the Shomim, Rava, after he heard it from Rava, Svar, he accepted it and said, this is Taka, a very good Teretz. And that's why we have to wrap shots. Abaye and Rava both say, because Abaye accepted it from Rava. So now the Gemara says, according to Abaye, the first version that we had of this machlokes was that the extra word, Yimol Besar L'So, was necessary only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But according to his Havamina, it was not necessary according to Rabbi Shimon. So now we ask the question, Abaye, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Hi, Bosar, Besar, Imo, Besar, Lasso, my Ovidle. What is it with the word Besar? So I'm Rav Amram. Rav Amram said, but Omer, Lokutz, Bahar, Tahu, Miskaven. Even in this situation, Rabbi Shimon would say, if your intention was Limo, if you wanted to go and cut off when you did the Mila, this Besar or Lasso, you also wanted to cut off the Baharis. So Rav Amram says, in that situation, even Rabbi Shimon would need a pasuk to tell me that even if your intention was to cut off the Baharis, you're allowed to do so because you're doing the mitzvah of Bris Milah. That's what you need, Imo, Besar or Lasso. So one says, that's great. Tenach Legado. That's great if the person is above the age of Bar Mitzvah and has the Yisurim of you're not allowed to cut off a Baharis. So that's why you need the pasuk for him. But an 8-year-old kid, he has no such intention. He has no such abilities. So therefore, why would you need the pasuk to tell me for a Bris Milah Bismana, an 8-year-old kid? So Amar Misharisha, Misharisha says, no. You know what? We're talking about the father. And the father has this intention to cut off his 8-day-old baby's Baharis so that the baby will be tar. And the baby, therefore, won't be mitame, other things. So he wants it. The father wants it. As Rashi says, the miskavin litaro. V'hu muzor de lo liyove biyadayim v'miskavin. And therefore, it's on the father. That will need, according to Rabbi Shimon, where the father wants to do it, the havamin of Abaye was, that's why you might have thought that if the father is miskavin, that he's not allowed to do it, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because now it's not a dov shenem miskavin, now it's a dov shenem miskavin. So Rabbi Shimon would say that it would be us, or, oh, that's why I have the pasuk, kimol besar l'so. So that's what Rabbi Misharish says. Ba'omer, avi ben, the father of this 8-day-old baby, intends lokutz baroso, Baharis, no, who come miskavin? He's intending to do so. So that's why you need a pasuk to tell him that he's still allowed to do it, even though that's his intention. Gemara says, so why let the father do it? V'iko acher, if there's another person around, let the other person do it. Because the Amar Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish said, whenever you have the ability that an aseh is docha lo saseh, an aseh is only docha lo saseh if you can't do the aseh without doing the lo saseh. But if you're able to do them both, So im ata yochol l'kayim shneim, if you can do the asay without being over the los asay, of course that's mutav. And only v'im lav yovo asay v'yidcha los asay. And only when you have no choice, there is no alternative, are you allowed to go and do the asay at the expense of the los asay. So over here, the father wants the baharis cut off, but the other person, this acher, has no intention to cut off the baharis. He's just going to do the bris milah. So why let the father do it in this situation? Let the other person do it. The other person is not going to be over los asay because he doesn't care about the baharis on the child, and therefore don't let the father do the bris milah in this situation. Let the acher do it, and therefore the question returns, according to Abaye's Havamina, why does Rabbi Shimon say you need the word yimo bisar or lasa? What is the word bisar doing there? You're not needing it to tell me any permissibility of doing something of an asay, docha los asay, because over here, the asay is not docha los asay. There is no los asay over here for the other person to cut off because it's a davar sheino miskavi. So the Gemara answers the obvious tarot. It's the lek acher. It's talking about, you need this pasuk to tell me, the father's on a desert island with his son. He has a bris milah on the eighth day, and the father knows how to do this. So the father also says, well, Baruch Hashem, now my child won't be tameh. I'll get rid of this neged tzaraas. And therefore, this is a situation where it would be an isser for him to do this because the darvish is kavin. That's why we have the pasuk, yimo besar l'so, to tell me that here you're allowed to go and do it. That's the havamin of Abaye. Why did Rabbi Shimon need the words yimo besar l'so? Now we repeat and quote the brisa we had from yesterday. Shir Amar Yom Tov Eino Docha Ela Bizmana Bovad. When we spoke about the bris milah, we said a bris milah bizmana or even shalom bizmana is able to cut off a lesion on the orla. If there's a baharis, tzaras lesion on the orla, you can do this, cut it off, even if it's a bris milah shalom bizmana. But when you're doing a bris milah on yontif, or certainly on Shabbos, it's only docha if it's a bris milah bizmana. So that's what we said yesterday in the brisa. Yom tov eino docha ela bizmana bovad. Only a bris milah that's on the eighth day, if that's the eighth day, it's yontif, or you'll have to do a bris milah. But if it's not the 8th day, it's the 9th day, the 10th day, the 11th day, it's 2 years old. So then, you're not allowed to do the bris milah on Yontif. People say, oh, listen, everybody's together on Yontif, we're not working, let's do the bris milah on Yontif. No, you're not allowed to do that. Minahani mili. How do we know that you're not allowed to do a bris milah that's not bismana on Yontif? So Gemara says, Amar Chizkiya, the Chayin Tanad Chizkiya. Chizkiya himself said it, and then they later taught it in his base medrash. Amar Christ, says the Pasuk, says, in regards to the Karban Pesach, lo sosiru minenu ad boker. Now, if you look on the side, it tells us, in the Os Aleph, you have to continue the pasuk. Vanosar mimenu ad boker bo'esh tisrofu. And as Rashi points out, it's the second boker that we bring down over here. Vanosar mimenu ad boker, that's the drasha. So it's not the first boker that we have quoted in our Gemara. It's the second boker that's not quoted in our Gemara, but it's brought down in the Masoras Hashas in Os Aleph. In any event, the pasuk says lo sosir minenu ad boker. Don't leave over any carbon pesach ad boker. That's the first part of the pasuk says don't do that. Eat up all the carbon pesach at night. But if you left it over, you must burn it in the fire ad boker. Now, shein tam lo ad boker. Why do you need the second boker over here? You told me lo sosir minenu ad boker. Don't leave it over in the morning. And then if you tell me ba'ish tisrofu, I'll know that it means the next morning on tesvav in the morning. So therefore, ma tam lo ad boker. Why does it tell me a second time ad boker? So Gemara says, Bo HaKosov, the Torah is teaching us, Litin lo boker sheini l'sreif also. Don't burn it on Tezvav in the morning, burn it on the first day of Chol HaMoed, on Tezayin in the morning. Ah, so therefore, what do we see from here? As Rashi says in the middle of the Dibra Maskel, Shein Tam Lo Marad Boker, so he says, Alma, you see from here, Midi Dechol Lo Avdinun B'yontiv, things that are of a whole nature, you're not allowed to do on Yontiv. No Pesach, Karbon Yudal B'nisinu, Pesach is brought Erev Pesach. The Korban Pesach is brought Erev Pesach, Shuchol, which is the day of Chol. And therefore, you're not allowed to bring the Nosar on Pesach itself, on Yontif itself. You have to wait till the first day of Chol HaMoed. So to Mila. Umila Shlobis Mana, Nami Mida Decholu. A Mila that doesn't have to be done on Yontif is a weekday type of an event. The Bishavis Zu, Lo Hoyos Mana. On Shabbos or Yontif, it's not its man. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. We learn this out from the Nosar of the Korban Pesach. That's teretz number one. We give several terutzim. Teretz number two. Abaye Amar, he says this from the following pasuk. Amar Kor, the pasuk says, Olas Shabbas b'Shabbato. You must bring the Ola of Shabbos on Shabbos itself. You're not allowed to go and bring it some other time. Below Olas Chol b'Shabbos. But you're not allowed to go and bring the Friday Ola and do that on Shabbos. So for whatever the reason, if you didn't do the Ola in its right time on Friday, you're not allowed to go bring it on Shabbos. Or if it was Erev Yom Tov, below Olas Chol b'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to go and burn it on Yontif. So you see, a Dover Chol, the same idea, is not allowed to be done on Shabbos or Yontif. So too, the Bris Milah, which is a Dover Chol, unless it's supposed to be done on the eighth day, then it's not a Dover Chol, then it's a Shabbos thing, then it's a Yontif thing if that's the eighth day. But if it's not the eighth day, so then it's a Dover Chol, and Olas Shabbos, Shabbato, only Shabbos things can be done on Shabbos, but weekday things can't be done on Shabbos or on Yontif. That's Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rav Amar, Rav says the following is the source. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Hu levado yeyaseh lochem. Now this din is talking about ocho nefesh. A person is allowed to prepare food on Yontif for Yontif. So this is the heter of ocho nefesh. Ma bin Shabbos leYontif, ocho nefesh bovad. So hu levado yeyaseh lochem, that you're allowed to do ocho nefesh for you on Shabbos. Now the who, v'lo machshirin. You're allowed to do the ochel nefesh, but you're not allowed to do the machshirin ochel nefesh if they were able to be done before Yontif. You're not allowed to do them on Yontif. You're not allowed to go make the knife to go cut the animal's neck to make the shchita on Yontif. You're allowed to do the shchita, but you're not allowed to make the knife. So who will do machshirin? So you're allowed to do the ochel nefesh, but you're not allowed to do the machshire ochel nefesh on Yontif. And then it says the word levado. Hu levado yeyaseh lochem. Levado comes to teach us lo milah shelo bizmana. That's the drasha. A milah bizmana is allowed to be done in Yontif, but a milah shelo bizmana is not allowed to be done in Yontif because you might have thought the asini kavachomer. We had the whole kavachomer that tzaras is docha the avoda. The avoda is docha Shabbos. The milah is docha tzaras. So if you have this whole progression, this kavachomer, that's the way Rashi understands this. Others understand this in a different way. But in any event, I might have said that this kavachomer would allow me to go do milah, which is knocking off tzaras, so which is tzaras is more chomer than Shabbos, so it certainly should be allowing me to knock off Shabbos even shelo bizmana. So that's why we need the pasuk hu levado. No, only a milah bizmana knocks off Shabbos, lo milah shelo bizmana, which I might have thought would have been done with a kavachomer. That's why I need a pasuk. Now we go to teretz number four. That's the teretz of Ravashi. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, the pasuk discussing Sukkot tells us that there's the first day of Sukkot you're not allowed to do melacha, and also the last day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, that you're not allowed to go and do melacha. So it says, Shabbason, you should make it into a day that you're not allowed to do melacha. Asehu, this is a mitzvah aseh. Now, therefore, in addition to lo saseh melacha, it also is that you have to make it a day of rest. So it's an aseh and a lo saseh. The aseh, to make it into a day of rest, Shabbason, as well as the lo saseh melacha, that you're not allowed to do melacha. That's the lo saseh. And therefore, this is not only an aseh, it's an aseh and a lo saseh. Asehu, it's also an aseh. And therefore, v'havale yom tov aseh v'lo saseh. Therefore, yontif has both qualities to it. It's both an aseh to make it a day of rest, as well as a lo saseh, that you're not allowed to do melacha on it. And of course, the same thing applies to Shabbos. And therefore, the aseh of bris milah, which is not bizmana, because the Torah tells us only bizmana are you allowed to be docha Shabbos Yontif. Therefore, through the rules of aseh is docha los aseh doesn't apply over here. Then aseh of bris milah docha es los aseh vaseh, the los aseh don't do melacha on Shabbos Yontif, and the aseh of making it Shabbos, Shabbason, by Yontif. So therefore, the normal rules of an aseh of bris milah wouldn't knock apart the los aseh of don't do melacha on Yontif, because melacha on Yontif is not only a los aseh, it also is a Shabbason that you should make it a day of rest. So those are the four terutzim that we have. Now we go back and we quote the Mishnah, which said, Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva Uchulei. Rabbi Akiva said that the machshirei milah are not allowed to be done on Shabbos or Yontif, only the milah itself is allowed to be done on Shabbos or Yontif. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, how do we paskin? Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is in accord with Rabbi Akiva. Now Gemara tells us, we said this elsewhere, so Gemara is going to ask, why do we need to tell us twice that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Isn't the other case by Pesach also very similar? So Gemara says, Utsna nami gabi Pesach. We learn the same exact halacha in the Mishnah in regards to the Korban Pesach. Kiyai Gavna. That tells us the same thing, that they came along and said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. What was the case by Pesach? It said over there exactly the same words. Klalam or Rabbi Akiva said, Kol b'locha shev shalol asos mi'erev Shabbos, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so you're still allowed to go shech to Korban Pesach on your Dalet, which is Shabbos. Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, you shech to Korban Pesach. So kom loch, shev shalol atzos, me'erev Yontif, me'erev Shabbos, but anything that you had to, you could have done on your Gimel, you're required to do it on your Gimel, and you're not allowed to do it on your Dalet, which is Shabbos, Erev Pesach, and a doch is a Shabbos. So things that you could have done beforehand, you must do beforehand. So shechita, which of course you can't do the shechita on Yud Dalet, on Yud Gimel. So therefore, Shchita, she efshar la'asos me'erev Pesach. The Shchita must be done on Erev Pesach, so you don't have a choice. So the Shchita you can do on Shabbos, Erev Pesach. But again, preparing the knife, doing machshirim for the Shchita, or for the Pesach, which could be done on Yud Gimel, on Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, you must do them. So only efshar la'asos me'erev Shabbos is dochas Shabbos. And there we had the same machlokes, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab, halachic Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva paskin over there that you're not allowed to do the things, the machshiri that you could have done beforehand. And Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab told me again over there that the halachic Rabbi Kiva. So the question where it says, why do you need it both over here by Brit Smila to say Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab, the halachic Rabbi Kiva, and you said it by the Korban Pesach that the halachic is like Rabbi Kiva. When you have Pesach, Erev Pesach, Shecholios B'Shabbos, that we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that only the things that are essential have to be done, but not the machshirim that could have been done on Yud Gimel. Mar says utzricha, you need both cases. Why do you need both cases? The Yashmin and Gabi Mila, because if you only taught me over here in our Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, you know what I might have thought? I would have said, Hossam, in that situation of Mila, the machshirim, efshar lasos me'esmol, lo dochu Shabbos. Because by a bris Mila, you can do everything that you need to do on Erev Shabbos. So why allow something that could have been done on Erev Shabbos to be done on Shabbos? That's why Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Because the lack of kares. There is no kares involved in doing this mitzvah. What do we mean kares? No kares. After all, if you don't do, this is one of the two mitzvahs I say, both Korban Pesach and Bris Mila are the only two mitzvahs I say that if you don't do, then you get kares. But the answer is that an atheist doesn't get kares. He'll only get kares if he dies without having a bris mila. So up until the point of his death, he's chayev kares. But as soon as he has a bris mila, so he's no longer chayev kares. But an atheist is not chayev kares. Maybe the father. The father's also not chayev kares. It's not his bris mila. He's required to do it. But if he doesn't mal his own son, he's not chayev kares. So therefore, I would have said that maybe only in a situation when there's no chayev of kares does Rav Yehuda Amar Rav say, well, we better be extra careful and don't do any of the machshirim on Shabbos or Yom Tov. I will Pesach. If you don't bring the Korban Pesach, the Ikur Kares, we might say, listen, Eimo Lidchul Shabbos, let even the machshirim be Docha Shabbos. And the halach is not like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav has to tell me by Pesach that the halach is even there like Rabbi Akiva, even when it's a potential Kares outcome. So it says, okay, so just tell me by Pesach. Yesh min chavi Pesach. You tell me only by Korban Pesach, so I would have said over there, Mishum de lo nichlusu alei, shloshes rei brisos. You know why Rabbi Akiva is machmir? Because it's not such an important mitzvah like bris mila. Korban Pesach is a very important mitzvah, but it doesn't have 13 covenants, shloshes rei brisos, like the mitzvah of mila does. And therefore, in regards to Korban Pesach, he doesn't allow the machshiri to be done. Havo Mila, the nichsu alei shloshes rebrisos, with such an important halakha mitzvah, ema litru Shabbos. He says, if you didn't do the machshirim beforehand, maybe let's do them on Shabbos. Therefore, kamashalon sricha, you need to have it in both places. Each one has a side to it that you might say is doche, even to allow the machshirim to be done, because either it's a chiyuv of kares or because it's shloshes rebrisos. So therefore, you need both places to tell me that even because of those two things, Rabbi Akiva nevertheless says only the actual milu or the shchita of the Korban Pesach is done on Shabbos, and not the machshirim. The machshirim aren't done on Shabbos. That concludes this beautiful discussion, and we begin the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is getting to the crux of the matter, what you're allowed to do in regards to a bris mila on Shabbos. So, the Mishnah starts off and says, Osin kol tzorchei mila b'Shabbos. A person is permitted to do any essentials of the mila. Kol tzorchei mila, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. This is actually the previous Mishnah that we had on Daf Kuf Chav Ches said this, and that was, we said, the connection between the previous parak, the 18th parak, and the 19th parak was this Mishnah that was on Kuf Chav Ches. We're repeating now, Osim Kol Tzorchei Mila B'Shabbos. Gemara is going to ask, so why do you have to say it again? What's the Chiddush over here? After you tell me all the things you're allowed to do, why are you telling me you're allowed to do Kol Tzorchei Mila B'Shabbos? We'll get to that in a moment, Gemara. So what are these Tzorchei Mila on Shabbos? Ma'alit, you're allowed to do the Bris Mila. Rashi says, Chotech Es Arla. This means to go cut off the Arla. In Purim, you do Priya. Priya is an essential component. If you don't do Priya, you didn't do the Bris Mila. What is Priya? Purim. So Rashi says, S-O-R, this is the thin membrane, HaMechas HaRosh HaGid, that covers up the gid, the aver, the penis of the person. So this has to be separated as well. So you can't just cut off the Arla, you also have to cut off this membrane, this or. Fine, that's Mila and Priya. These two are essential components of the Mila. If you don't do Mila and Priya, you're not Yotzei Bris Mila. The person is considered still an Orel. The next component of this tzarchei mila is motzitzin, to do mitzitza. This is the whole controversy of mitzitza b'peh. This is the source in the Gemara for telling us that you must do mitzitza. Some point out that it's this double lashon motzitzin as opposed to motz, or some word like that, that tells us it has to be bedafka b'peh. So this is the source for doing mitzitza. Now, motzitzin, you must do this mitzitza. Rashi explains, you have to suck out the dam, you have to bring out the dam. Even though you're making a wound, we won't question this, but right now, this is, and this is the final understanding, that you're making a wound, el either hamitzitza or ayidei hachabura, different girsos over here in Rashi. So you must do this. It would be, as the Gemara will say, dangerous if you didn't do this. But the Gemara will also tell us that the mitzitza is not ma'akev. If you didn't do the mitzitza, the bris mila is still a good bris mila. You throw that mole out. If you didn't do the mitzitza, you don't let him, you take away his license to do mila, but the mitzitza is different than the mila and priya. The mila and priya are essential. The mitzitza is recommended, so to say. It's a very, very, very important mitzvah. We have to do it, but it's not ma'akev, as opposed to the mila and priya, which are ma'akev if you don't do them. Then furthermore, other tzarchei mila include v'nos and alea, isplanis, the common. You're allowed to put on it a tachboshes, Rashi says, a bandage. And common is usually translated as cumin, which is, again, some sort of a medicinal preparation that you do over here to heal the baby's wound. And this common is needed to be ground up. In lo shochach me'er Shabbos, if you didn't do this on Friday, so then you need it on Shabbos, but you do it with a shinoi. Rashi says, you make it with a shinur, so therefore lois, you chew it b'shinov, and that will chop it up in the same way, the nosin, and then you put it on the wound. Now, again, we might not say from a hygienic point of view that that's something that we would recommend, but this was something that was done. Im lo toraf yayin v'shemen, Rashi points out, kachi rugilin, v'hi refuah, they also used to put this mixture of wine and oil, shema arvin v'tofin b'kara, they would scramble it together in a container, the yayin and the shemen, the wine and the oil, kiderech shetorfin beitzin b'kara, like you make a scrambled egg. So they would go and beat these two together and mix them together, and if you didn't do this, im lo toraf yayin v'shemen, me'er Shabbos, also, inosein zebi'atzmo, you can put one into a container, and then put the other one into that same container. And if they mix, they mix. Not the end of the world. You're allowed to do this. But you're not allowed to go mix them vigorously by yourself. Well, we'll talk about this more as well. Then the Mishnah continues and it says, you're not allowed to go make this choluk. Rashi says, Ke'en kis docho, kayuosin. They would make a certain type of little garment over here. Umabishim esrosh again. They would put this on top of the area where you did the bris mila in order that the leftover orla shouldn't go and rise and go back up and cover up the gid again. And therefore, they would put this little bandage there, the mo'olim today. They wrap around the gauze pad around it to maintain the openness of the top of the gid, and this way you don't have the orla retracting and coming back on again. So if they didn't make this choluk beforehand, they should have made it beforehand, but they didn't. So what do? In this situation, ain't also the choluk lechila. You're not going to go make one on like this on Shabbos. That's machshiri mila. So what do? Avokorech lo smartut. You take some sort of a shmata, you take some sort of material, and you wrap that around. In lohis gemayer Shabbos, and if you don't even have that, nothing is there. So then, korech alatzbo, you're allowed to go and put this either the smartut, or if you have this choluk, you can put it on your finger, and then you carry it on your finger from the place where you have it, or maybe afilu mechotzer acharetz, and you're allowed to go carry it from one chotzer to another chotzer, which would be an issur derabanan normally to carry, but here you're allowed to do this. Rashi says, you're carrying it in this way, then it's not called carrying. It's derech malbush, l'shanosu miderech otzor b'chol, and you're doing it in a different way than you would do it on a weekday, so this you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. We turn to the Omid Beis, and we start the Gemara. Gemara says, Michtei, Tani Kulu, you tell me all the things you have to do, Mo'alin, Uporin, Umotzitzin, etc., etc. So, kol tzorchimila, lasu yimai. So what do you have to tell me in the first statement that you're allowed to do kol tzorchimila? You then elaborate and enumerate all the different things. So we don't have general rules. So therefore, this additional statement, kol tzorchei mila, allowed to be done on Shabbos, comes to be including what additional din? So Gemara says, lasuyeh yehodu tana rabbanu, comes to include that which was also mentioned in the Braisa. And that is, hamol, if somebody does a bris mila, but didn't completely remove all the tzitzin, all the little pieces of tissue, so kol zman shu osik b'mila, while he's still doing the bris milah. We're talking about Shabbos. On a weekday, obviously, there's no problem. Go back and do it. So on Shabbos, as long as he's, quote, involved in doing the bris milah, so chozer, he's allowed to go back and continue to cut off the tzitzin, these extra little pieces of tissue. And this is true. Bein ala tzitzin ha-ma'akbenes ha-milah, any of the tzitzin that make it that he didn't do the bris milah, those are required to be cut off. Of course, he can go back for those. But even he can go back. If you were to ask a rabbi, was the bris milah performed? He would say, yes. Are those extra pieces of tissue there? They should be cut off? Yes, but the bris milah was performed even if you don't cut them off. So the chiddush over here in the spraisa, and that's what the Mishnah is telling me, called tzorchei milah, is coming to tell me that as long as you're still doing the bris milah, you can cut off even the tzitzin that aren't ma'akev. However, piresh, if you finish doing the bris milah, and then you said, hey, there's some tzitzin over there, so if that tzitzin ha-ma'akvinis ha-milah, so I'll have tzitzin ha-ma'akvinis ha-milah, chozer, you'll have to go back for them because you didn't do a bris milah. So of course you'll have to do that. No chiddush there. But the chiddush is, al tzitzin she'en ma'akvinis ha-milah, ain't a chozer. Once you, so to say, stop doing the bris milah, and somebody says, hey, there's some strands of tissue over there, can you cut those off too? So if they're ma'akvinis ha-milah, yes. If they're not ma'akvinis ha-milah, no. So that's what it means. Tzorchei milah, anything that's necessary to be a valid bris milah, you can do. But the tzitzin that aren't ma'akvin are not included in this tzorchei milah. So now we ask the question, who is the author of our Mishnah that says you can't go back with a tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin esamilah? Mantana pirish enochozer. Who is this author of our Mishnah that holds this shita? The Rambam gives several possible terutzim and is going to reject them until they get to the final answer. I'm a Rabbi Barbachana, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Barbachana says the name of Yochanan. You know who the author is of our Mishnah who says that you're not allowed to go back for the tzitzah that aren't ma'akvin? That's Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokehi. This is his opinion. Why? The Tanakh is learning in the Braisa. Our boss, Sosher Cholios b'Shabbos. Again, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so there are different things that we do in regards to the making of the Korban Pesach. So, of course, anything that's essential to be done, you have to do, but things that aren't essential to be done, so this Tana, Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Rav Yochanan Broka, is going to tell us there's certain things that you don't do. So, the Tana Kama says, Mafshit HaPesach HaRechoza, we have the word over here, Adam, but it's really not found. It should say, Mafshit Es HaPesach HaRechoza. You go and flay the Korban Pesach only until the breastbone, until the chozer. And you don't continue doing the flaying because it's not necessary. You can get out all the inner parts that you need to bring up on the Mizbeach and do that without flaying the animal more than is necessary. This is the opinion. Divrei Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan ben Broka. So what do you see? He clearly is of the opinion that you don't do anything that's not absolutely necessary. So too, he's the author of our Mishnah that said, Kol Tzorchei Milah, you're only allowed to do those tzitzin that are ma'akvin, but you're not allowed to do the tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin. So too, you're only allowed to flay the animal, the Korban Pesach, up until the chazah, up until the breastbone, because beyond that, you don't need to do it. So you're not allowed to do anything else that you're not allowed to do. Oh, he's the author of a Mishnah. And the Chacham in that price, they disagree with the Chacham in Mavshit in school. No, once you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do the whole thing. So too, regards to Mila, while you're still involved in the milah, so you can go back for the tzitzin hama'akvin, as well as even the tzitzin she'enam akvin samila. So this is what the first teretz is. Rabbi Bar Chana says the name of Yochanan, that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan Broka. Where it says, not necessarily so, mimai. Maybe over there, adkan lo kamar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan Broka, hosom, in regards to Korban Pesach, the reason why he said you can't go any further than the chozeh is mishum, the lo bo'inon, ze keli v'anveyu, because there is no aspect of glorifying Hashem's name by making it more beautiful. This is my God, Zeh Keli. We always pronounce it Keli, but it's really with an aleph. So we don't want to say Hashem's name. So this is my God, Vanveyu, and I will make it beautiful. In other words, I will glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name by making some mitzvah more beautiful. So in regards to the flaying of the animal, how does flaying it all the way make it more beautiful? There is no aspect of making the mitzvah more beautiful, so therefore, Zeh Keli Vanveyu doesn't apply. That's why by the Korban Pesach, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan ben Broka doesn't allow you to go flay it beyond the chazah, beyond the manubrium, beyond the breastbone. However, in regards to the tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin, you're going to have a horrible-looking milah site. You're doing the mitzvah bris milah. You want the area to look nice. You're honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making the area look nice.
Hachanami, even Rishmo, Benoshim, Yochanan, Broku, would allow you to go and do the tzitzin she'enon ma'akvin.
And therefore, Rishmo, Benoshim, Yochanan, Broku is not the author of our Mishnah. Now, where do we see this idea of Zeh Kelev Yanveya? Where is that learned from? So the Tanya, because we have a braisa that says, the pasuk in Oz Yosher, Zeh Kelev Yanveya, this is my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is my God, and I will glorify him, I will beautify him. So his snarl of mitzvos, this drasha in this braisa tells us that we have to go and try to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making all the mitzvos beautiful. For example, Aseh Lefon of Sukkah, not. When you make a sukkah, make a nice sukkah. When you make a lulav, the lulav, Noah. Go make a nice lulav. The shofar, when you're making a shofar, make a shofar Noah. When you're making tzitzis, make a tzitzis Noah. Make a beautiful pair of tzitzis. When you're making Sefer Torah, Noah. It should be a beautiful Sefer Torah. And as part of that beautification, uksov bo lishmo, some suggest that making the Sefer Torah lishmo with the right kavana, that's beautifying the mitzvah. Others explain it means uksov bo lishmo b'diyo Noah. You write it with a beautiful ink. That makes it, you're doing lishma for the niceness of the Sefer Torah. And you should use b'kol musnah. You should use a very nice type of a quill. B'kol musnah. B'lav la'uman. And it should be a person who is a professional writer. He should be an expert artisan in terms of writing a Sefer Torah. He should be a wonderful sofer. Furthermore, v'korcho b'shiroi noin. You wrap the Torah up in a mantle, in a beautiful mantle for the Sefer Torah. All of these things are part of Zeh Kelev Yanveya. Abishol Omer, he says, how do we know this? Where do we see the idea of Yanveyu? He says, Yanveyu, have a domolo. It means you should be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani v'hu. You should be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum v'chanun. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is chanun v'rachum. Avato haye chanun v'rachum. So to you should be chanun v'rachum. The Ben Yod explains that when we said uksov bo lishmo, he says that's the ikka part of the Sefer Torah. The most mehudu part of a Sefer Torah, or of any Ksiva Stam, when you're writing holy things like a Sefer Torah, Tefillin or Mezuzah, is the kavanas that you have. That's what makes it really beautiful. He also explains that when it said with the Kol Misnoi, it meant with a beautiful penmanship and not with a beautiful pen. On the other hand, the Sfas Emes says, no, even though you're not going to know that it was written with a beautiful pen, it's really the penmanship, the Ben Yod is right, but the Sfas Emes says, no, the fact that you wrote it with a beautiful pen, that's also part of the mitzvah of Zeh Kelev Yanveya. Okay, so we see that Rishmo ben Osher Ryochel Baroka is not the author of our Mishnah. Then who is? So Elo Ravashi. Ravashi says, you know who the author of our Mishnah is? Hamani. This is the opinion of Rav Yossi. This is the Tana Rav Yossi who said the following, the Tanan. He learned this in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, where we have the rule that the Edom have to come to testify to say that the new moon is here, and therefore they declare Rosh Chodesh. So he says, on Shabbos, Ben Shenira Ba'alil, or Ben Shelo Nira Ba'alil, the Tanakam of this Mishnah says, whether the moon was clearly visible in the sky to everyone, or whether the moon wasn't visible clearly in the sky, maybe it broke through the clouds and only a couple of people saw it, maybe for a few minutes, nevertheless, Mechalim Lovs Shabbos. You're allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos, to go to the Beis Din or travel there, the Mishnayis and Rosh Hashanah, talk about what you're allowed to do, because you have to let the Beis Din know when the new moon was seen. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Nira Ba'olil, if the moon was visible clearly to everybody, it's a nice clear sky, and the entire world will be able to see the new moon, then a Mechal Lovs Shabbos. Then you don't send people to go be Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Yossi is the author of our Mishnah, just like you only do the things that are absolutely necessary. If it's a cloudy sky, maybe it broke through for a few minutes, then the people go because they're the only ones that can do it. So too, the tzitzin ama akvin by the bris milah, only those things that are absolutely necessary you do. But things that aren't absolutely necessary, you don't do them, just like nira ba'olu. Mor says, not necessarily so. Mimai. Who says that that's true? Dilma, maybe only by the edim did Rav Yossi say the dinadiko. Adkan lo kam Rav Yossi also by the Edim, the lo nit no Shabbos lidachos, because this is Shabbos. And why would you be Mechal Shabbos if you don't have to be Mechal Shabbos? But here, Avol, regards to Bris Mila, hocho, the nit no Shabbos lidachos. By definition, we're doing this meal on Shabbos. It's the eighth day, and Shabbos is pushed aside. So once Shabbos is pushed aside, maybe he says, hochanami, that Shabbos is pushed aside as well in regards to the tzitzin she'enon ma'akvin. So you have no raya that Rav Yossi is the author of a Mishnah. So what it says, we'll try again. Ela Amre Nardoi, and this will be the right answer. The first two we rejected, but this will be the right answer. Ela Amre Nardoi, the Nardoi say, the Tamid Echam that lived in Nardoi, they said, Rabbanon, the author of our Mishnah, are the Chachamim, the Pligele, the Rav Yossi, that argue with Rav Yossi in regards to the Lechem Aponim. Now the Lechem Aponim were the 12 showbreads that were put on the
Shulchan every Shabbos and taken off. The old ones were taken off. Every Shabbos, one of the great nisim that they were baked on Friday a week before and then put on the Shulchan that Shabbos after they were baked. They weren't allowed to bake them on Shabbos. So they would leave it on the table for the whole week. They would take off the old ones and put the new ones on, and they would stay steaming, piping hot the entire week, and they would take them off 8 days later. If Friday was a Yontif, they would bake it on Thursday. If Thursday was Rosh Hashanah, so Thursday and Friday, so they'd bake it on Wednesday, and it still stayed piping hot. This was one of the great nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Lechem upon him, it says they have to be Lufanai Somid. They have to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. And therefore, we have a machlokus. What does it mean at all times the Lechem upon him have to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, on the Shulchan. So this is a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. And it's not, because this is a Mishnah that we have in Menachos where these dinim are discussed. And it says there were four Kohanim that would bring the new Lechem upon him on, and four Kohanim that take the old Lechem upon him off. Why do you need four? You needed two to carry the breads and two to carry the bazichin. This was the Lavona that was on top of the six stack of breads, the stack of six breads, and therefore you needed four Kohanim to do each of these things, to go and bring them on, and a separate four Kohanim to take them off. So according to the Mishnah, it says as follows: Arba Kohanim Nichlasim. You had the first four Kohanim coming inside, and they had the Shnayim Biyodim Shnei Sedarim. Two of them, each of them had one of the stacks of the six Lechem upon him. And Ushnayim Biyodim Shnei Bazichin. And the other two, each of them carried one of the Bazichin, one of the ladles that had the Lavona that was inside there. Lavona's frankincense, and each of them carried one of the bezichim. They were placed eventually on top of the lechem upon him. So that's why you needed four Kohanim. And then you had four Kohanim that went ahead of them, Arba, Makdimin Lifneim, that went in ahead of them to take off the, each of them took off one of the six lechem upon him, and each of them took off one of the bazichin. So shnayim lito shnei sedarim. Two of the kohanim took away. Each of them took away a stack of six, and shnayim lito shnei bazichin. And each of the other two kohanim, each of them took one of the ladles filled with the lavona with the bazichin. Okay, now hamachnisin, those that brought in the lechem upon him, the bazichin, they stood on the batzofon. They were on the northern aspect of the shulchan, upneim ledarim, facing southward. From their aspect, the holy of holies, the kodesh Kodoshim, was to their right, and they're facing from the northern position where they're in towards the south, and to their left was the east. And the other Kohanim, those were the ones that came in with the Lechem upon him and the Bezichin. Vamotzin, those that were going to take out the Lechem upon him, Om the Bedarim, they stood on the south side of the Shulchan, facing the other Kohanim, Ufneim Lutzofa, they were facing towards the north. So the Kodesh Kodoshim was to their left, and the Mizrach was to their right. Now, as they simultaneously put the new Lechem upon him on, they would slide the old Lechem upon him off. Elu Moshivim, Elu Menichem. They did this simultaneously. Tivcho Shozeh, a tefach at a time, but tzad tivcho Shozeh. So there was constantly Lechem upon him on the table. As the Pasuk says, Mishum Shenemar, the Pasuk says, now we have the Girsa, Lefonai Hashem Tomid. The word Hashem is not in the Pasuk, it's Lefonai Tomid. That these Lechem upon him have to be constantly Tomid in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Tanakhama says that you're not allowed to go and leave it even for 1 second without the Lechem upon him. So you can't have the same Kohanim take Lechem upon him off, put it down on the Shulchan Shoshayish, the different Shulchan that they had there, and then put the new Lechem upon him on the Shulchan Shozov. So you're not allowed to do that. So as they slid off the old, they would simultaneously slide on the new. And this way it was Lefanai Tomid. It was constantly there. Now, this opinion, the Chachamim, says that only when you're doing the Bris Milah are you allowed to go and take care of it. Once you've finished the Bris Milah, i.e. there are no tzitzin hama'akvin, so that's it. You can't go and do anything else, because it has to be in one motion, so to say. So while you're doing the Bris Milah, anything that's done for the Bris Milah is allowed. But once you finish the Bris Milah, i.e. there are no more tzitzin hama'akvin, that's it, you're done. And that's learned out over here from Lefanai Tomid. As Rashi says, the Gabi Pirish, when the Baal Mila, the Moil, went and finished, Kihadr Osi, if he comes back, Mil Sachrisi, it's a separate action. And therefore, you're not allowed to go do it, because you're not allowed to do that type of Malacha on Shabbos. Only allowed to do Bris Mila, and it's no longer called the Bris Mila. So therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah are these Chachamim that argue with Rav Yossi. No, what does Rav Yossi say? Rav Yossi says, no, the definition of the Lefanai Tomid means that same day. You're not allowed to have a day go by without the Lechem upon him being on it. Afilu Elu Notlim, he would allow the first group to take off the Lechem upon him. Ve'elu Nichem, the other group comes in and puts it on a few minutes later. Nishke Ferlech, Avzeh Hayo Tomid. This is also called Tomid, as Rashi says. Umani Mekayim Tomid, Shelo Yolin Shulchan, below Lechem, that the Shulchan shouldn't have a day go by without Lechem. Ayad Rabbanon, ishakli vishavkile b'hod misadre lo mikre lu tamid. It's only the chachamim that say it must be on it 100% of the time, absolutely all the time. So therefore, these chachamim that argue with Yossi are the author of our Mishnah. More discusses this further. Tanu Rabbanon, mahalkitin es hamila. Mahalkitin, Rashi says, means to cut off the tzitzin hama'akvin. You're obligated to cut off all the strands of tissue that are ma'akev. More later on, we'll discuss what exactly is ma'akev, what's not. V'yam lo hilkate, and if you didn't cut this off, onish karis, you get karis. Someone says, Mani, who gets karis? Who are we talking about over here that's karis? It's two possibilities. It's the moel, or it's the person who's undergoing the bris mila. So the moel says, Mani, who gets karis? And two different reasons for karis. If it's the moel, he's getting karis because he's mechalo Shabbos. If it's the person who's having the bris mila, it's because the tzitzin of ma'akri, he hasn't yet had a bris mila, and therefore he's chayiv karis for not having a bris mila. So that's what the Gemara asks Mani. Who is the person who gets karis? So Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Uman, it's the moel. Uman is the professional. It's the person who did the bris mila. He didn't do a bris mila. He did a chavala. He did some sort of a damage. He's doing this on Shabbos, so then that's a chiv of skila. Now, he wasn't given asra, Rashi says, and that's why he only gets karis. Maskel, Rav Papa, Rav Kahana questions, says, wait a second, Uman, why would this guy get skila? Why would he get karis? Lemaluhu, he could say to them, listen, I started the job. It's up to you to finish the job. I didn't do anything wrong. I know I'll be pagu the mitzvah. I did the first half of the mitzvah. I cut off most of the arla. No, atun, you, avitzizu, pagu the mitzvah. You do the rest of the mitzvah. Why would I get karis for doing the first half of the mitzvah? I did a good thing, not a bad thing. So where says taka, that's right. Elam rapapa godol. You know, it's really the person who's a godol. He's above the age of bar mitzvah. And he's having this bris mila done. He didn't have a bris mila done. Therefore, he's chayiv karis for not having a bris mila done. Or said, that's also not right. Maskev l'ravashi, godol behedjuk sibbe. We already have a pasuk telling us that if a person doesn't have a bris mila, when he's a godol, so he's going to be held accountable. And if he dies without having a bris mila, that's karis. So Gemara says, godol behedjuk sibbe. It says beferish. V'yorel zachar shelo yimolus v'saro l'sov v'nichrasah ha'nevesh ha'imi ha'mel. V'nichrasah, he gets karis. So why would you need the brisa to tell me what's in the beferish pasuk? So one says, Taka, that's right also. So what's the answer? Who gets karis? So Elam Ravashi. Ravashi goes back and he says, La'olam Uman. We are talking about the moel. He is the one that gets karis. And what's the case? Ukagon, the also bein hashmoshos to Shabbos. The bris mila was supposed to be done on Shabbos, and it was delayed. It's now Shabbos afternoon. It's very late. It's getting very close to the bein hashmoshos. You're supposed to do the bris mila on Shabbos. And they told him, listen, there's 2 minutes left to the bein hashmoshos. Vamulei lo mispakis. You're not going to have time to go and do the bris mila. And if you don't complete the bris mila on Shabbos, then all you did is chavala, and you're going to be chayiv kares. They didn't give him hasra for skila. If they did, then mustama, if he accepted it, then he'd be chayiv skila. We're just using the example of kares. V'amalu, no, he says, no, misafkina, I got plenty of time. I got time to do it. And then he starts doing the bris mila against their instructions, the avad. However, v'lo istapik, they were 100% right, and he wasn't able to finish the bris mila. And therefore, v'yishtakach, it turns out, the chaburu hu diavad. All he did was a chaburu, all he did was chavala. And therefore, v'anush kares, and he gets kares. Again, they didn't give him hasra for skila, and he didn't accept it. So therefore, he's over on Shabbos without hasra, so therefore, you get kares. That's what we're talking about. Then we said in the Mishnah, Motzis v'chule, you have to do mitzitza. You have to suck out the blood over here from the area of the bris mila. Rapapa says, "Hi umna de lo mayitz. If the moel doesn't go and do mitzitza, sakonu. This is very dangerous to the baby. It's a kosher mila. The abrinon lay, but we remove him. We take away his license. We don't let him do bris mila anymore. He no longer has certification to do bris mila because he's doing something that's dangerous. Technically, if the person survives, so it was a kosher bris mila, but we don't let an uman do this lechatchila." Gemara says pshita, obviously, midikor mechalle yaleh shabasa, since obviously we allow you to do and do this when it's chilul Shabbos to do mitzitza. Mitzitza, we're working with right now the assumption that it's an actual chilul Shabbos to draw out this blood. You're making a wound, so the only reason you're allowed to do this is because sakonahu. Otherwise, we wouldn't let you do this. So, of course, we're not going to let someone do this if he doesn't do mitzitza. It's dangerous. So what's the chiddush of Rapapa? Rapapa doesn't tell us if the uman doesn't know what he's doing, don't let him do the bris mila. Rapapa doesn't say if the uman doesn't have a steady hand, don't let him do what he's doing. So of course, someone says no, because I might have said, ma'u detema, you know what, that this mitzitza of the blood is not actually a melacha d'oraisa, because haidam mifkat pocket, this dam is already there. this dam came out when you did the bris milah. It's below the skin, but it came out of its place. And they have kumashulon chaburei michbar. So the chiddush of Rapapi is no. Don't think that that blood is already loose, and therefore you're not over in Issa deraisa by removing it. But no, you are over in Issa deraisa if you remove it. But you have a heter over here because of bikuach nefashos. It's a sakana to go and do this. And this is similar, v'dumia, the splanis v'chamon. This is similar to the fact that you're allowed to make a bandage and you can make the cumin because these things are necessary for bikuach nefashos. Ma'is splanis v'chamon kilo orbit sakano. If you don't do this application of the bandage and the chamon, they felt it was bikuach nefashos. It was a real sakana. So to av hocha nami. By the case of the mitzitza, kilo ovit sakanu. It's also something that if you don't do it, it's a sakana. Now this is a whole famous discussion again regarding mitzitza bepeh as to whether we today consider it a sakana or not. La maisa, all the major poskim say that we absolutely do mitzitza bepeh. The question is, do you have to do it bepeh mamish? Do you do it with a mitzitza directly with the mouth on the wound? Or can you do it with a svug? The famous heter of the Chassam Sofer, as he told to the Yad Eliezer, his Talmud, when there was an outbreak of infections in children that had bris milah, so they had a hurrah shah, or they had a, for all time, heter from the Chassam Sofer, that you could do mitzitza bepeh lechatchila with a sfug, with some sort of a pipette today, or with some sort of a sponge to go and pull out this blood. That's a famous discussion. Fine. Chassam Sofer asks another question. He says, if this is an issa daraisa to go and do this mitzitza, so why not do the bris milah a minute or two before the shkia? So you do the milah and the priya on Shabbos, and you're yotzei the bris milah. And now, after the ben hashmashos, when it may not be an issa daraisa, because maybe it's already chol, so then do the mitzitza. And this way you don't have to do the issa mitzitza on Shabbos. So why not do it that way? So he basically says that this is one action over here. It comes one right after the other. And that there is no problem in doing it on Shabbos because you're really doing this all at the same time. And we're doing it all at the same time. So it's considered that you're doing this all as part of the bris milah and you're not mechuyev to go and do it after the shkia. Mishnah is quoted and says, you're allowed to put the bandage on the wound. So I'm Abaye. Abaye says, my mother taught me. Now, Abaye, we know, was an orphan. His father died shortly after conception, and his mother died during childbirth, and he was raised by this woman who was his guardian. This woman was the woman who raised him, the governess who raised him. So he always called her Aim throughout Shas. So Abaye says, Amali Aim, this woman taught me Splanisa, this bandage, the Kulukive, is good for all sorts of wounds or pains that a person have. And how do you make the best isplanisa? So you take shav minoi tarba, you take seven, Rashi says minoi means monos, portions of fat, tarba. The yaivitz, he brings down that it means seven different animals types of fat, because minoi means min, seven different species of animals. You take their fats, the chadakira, and one portion of wax, and this will make the best type of isplanisa, the best type of dressing for the wound. Fine. Rava says you take kira, you take wax, the kalba rishina. Rashi explains that kalba rishina is zefes shel eitz, it's like the resin of a tree, shemotzi mimenu shloi de'or, that doesn't come off with fire, he lavona, and it's white. So you take this to the wax and this resin, and that's what you make the salve over here for this bandage. Darsha Rava b'Mechuzah, Rava announced publicly in one of his drushes in Mechuzah to take this this type of a salve, and he announced it publicly. So Karinu b'nei Minyume Asya l'manayu. So the family, the children of Minyume, who was the Asya, who was the doctor, so they all ripped their clothing. Karinu l'manayu. They did kriya, so to say, because they said, as Rashi points out over here, shehifsid lehem legalos ufuzu. This was their source of income. They knew this trick, and when people would come to them, they would prepare the special sauce, they would go and make the special salve, and they wouldn't tell them what's in it, and people pay a lot of money for it. But now that Rava darshan this publicly, nobody's going to come to them anymore. They can make it on their own. Amalu, Rava said to them, don't worry, shavki luchuchada, I left you still something that you'll be able to go make your panos on. What is that? I didn't announce publicly the Omer Shmuel, that was Shmuel said. Hi, man de Moshe apay, v'lo nagiv tuva. If a person washes his face and he doesn't dry it off very well. So nikdru means you get like knots. Chas penisa, you're going to get knots in your face. It's pun of misbakos. Your face is going to swell up. It's going to have cracks in it. Or Rashi says, Ani Omer, I think this is a min shchin. It's a type of boil. And he says that that's what's going to happen. In other words, if a person doesn't wash his and dry his face well, he's going to get a reaction, and he's going to either get cracks in his faces or he's going to get a boil in his face. No, what's the treatment? This is the chiddush that Rava didn't announce to everybody, and he says, don't worry, minyumi asa, you're still going to have this for your family's trade. So maitakante, what's the proper way to go and treat this? He says, limshe tuva, wash it very, very well, bimaya de silka, with beet juice, with the water of beets. And this will go and cure this either this boil over here or these cracks in the face of the person. With this, we conclude today's shiur.